Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Church. It's a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Evansville, Indiana. It's great to have you here for another brief time in God's Word. Today is Thursday, December 3rd, 2020. This is edition number 41. As we are working our way through season 2 of the Morning Devotional, we are in the Sermon on the Mount. Yesterday, we began looking at the subject of prayer, and we dealt just very briefly with the first half of verse 9 of chapter 6. This morning, we're going to move right into the substance of the Lord's Prayer as given to us in this passage. But let's pray together first, and then we'll consider these words this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, we come to learn. We come to learn how to pray. We come to understand the instruction that your Son gave to his disciples and now gives to us through your word. We pray that you'd strengthen us, that you'd give us grace and help us to understand, to know, and to practice that which we hear. Teach us to pray, Father, that we might commune with you rightly. We do pray for your people. We pray for them wherever they may be, whatever circumstance or trial or struggle they are currently experiencing, that you might be kind to them and merciful and gracious. Be gracious to us, even now, we ask, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we are in Matthew chapter 6, just dealing with the completion of verse 9, which reads, "Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, here in the Lord's Prayer, what we need to first note is that it's a model of prayer. We talked about that just briefly yesterday, that it's a means by which we are taught how to pray. It's a learning device that we use and is we have often used in worship, but even individually. It's not the kind of prayer that I think is required to be prayed exactly as it's given, but it does teach us something about what prayer is and how we ought to pray. And in this Lord's Prayer, there are six petitions, six requests that are made as highlighted by the words of the Savior. These words in verse 9, however, are what is known as the preface of the Lord's Prayer. It introduces the Lord's Prayer. It's an address given. And we note that there when Jesus tells us to pray like this, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And so our shorter catechism, again, is helpful for us. It teaches us and instructs us as to what the preface of the Lord's Prayer does indeed teach you and me. And that's question 100 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. I'm just going to read the answer and then make some comments about it. The answer to the question of what does the preface of the Lord's Prayer teach us is, "The preface of the Lord's Prayer, which is our Father, which art in heaven, teaches us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence, as children to a Father, able and ready to help us, and that we should pray with and for others." And so here in the preface, we have the address. Who are we addressing? We are addressing our Father who is in heaven. We are taught there to approach him, to come to him with our needs, with whatever circumstance it may be. I was coming to my study at the church this past Lord's Day, and I could not unlock the door to my study. The key got stuck. I couldn't turn the key. I couldn't do anything. And obviously, I needed to get in my study. And I was prompted. I wish I could tell you I remember to do this every single time I have these kinds of issues present themselves. But I just asked for help from the Lord. He knew that I needed to get in this room. And so it doesn't make any difference, really. It's not a question of how serious the situation is or how little the situation is. We are taught to draw near to God in our prayers. And we do so with holy reverence. We do so because as we come to God, as highlighted by the words, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," we do this because our Father in heaven is not like us. He is not like a man. He is holy. And the triune God is indeed holy. Psalm 95, verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He has made us. We are His. And so when we approach Him, we're not approaching Him as a peer. We're approaching Him as the holy God of heaven and earth, the sovereign Lord who made heaven and earth, the one who by His own mere power, and because of who He is, can require of anything of His creatures, any worship or service that He is so pleased to require. And so we're not approaching a buddy, and we're not approaching a peer. We are approaching a God who made us. And so it ought to bring to us a certain reverence and a certain awe and a certain majesty that this God of heaven, who made all things and orders all things, cares about our needs and our concerns. But we should address Him with respect, with reverence, with adoration, with the recognition that He is holy. But we do so with confidence, the Shorter Catechism tells us. We do so with confidence. Why? Because He's our Father in heaven. As redeemed people, He is our Father. We are not under the judgment of God any longer. Christ has carried that away. We are now as children, as sons and daughters of God. We are dwelling in His family room, as it were. And I've used that illustration many times with many different people. We live in His family room. We're able to ask of Him the things that we stand in need of. He pities us. He has compassion upon us. He looks down upon us with great love and great concern. The Confession of Faith in chapter 12 describes this subject that I'm bringing up here. It's the subject of adoption. And because of this subject, it's only one paragraph in the confession, but through God's adopting work in making us sons and daughters, we have many benefits. We enjoy the liberties and privileges of the children of God. And one of those privileges is this, that we can come to our Father in heaven anytime, anywhere, with any concern, any issue, for things that are agreeable to His will, lay our desires before Him. We have His name put upon us. We receive the Spirit of adoption. We have access to the throne of grace with boldness. And so when we pray, we have access to Him. And we can do so with reverence, but also with boldness. We're enabled to cry, Abba, Father. We're pitied and protected and provided for. And sometimes we're chastened by Him, disciplined, as even a regular earthly father would do for their children because of His great love for His children. And so we draw near to Him with holy reverence, confidence, as children to a Father who is able and ready to help us. Who else in the universe, who else is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond anything you and I could possibly imagine or even think to ask of Him? He created the world in the space of 6 days. He spoke and it was there. He is able to overcome every circumstance, every issue, every trial of this life. He is able to do things that we can't even possibly even imagine. I'm reminded of the story of the prophet Habakkuk, who in his great struggle with what was going on in the day and age of the Old Testament church. And he writes in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and You will not hear? Or cry to You violence, and You will not save. Why do You make me see iniquity, and why do You idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. And so here Habakkuk, he is praying, he's laboring, he's drawing near to God as a child to a father. And we read of the Lord's answer in verse 5, For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. God is able to do things exceedingly and abundantly beyond anything you and I can imagine. And so who else can we really go to? Now, we can go to our pastors, we can go to our elders, and we can ask for prayer. We can go to our fellow members and brothers and sisters and ask for prayer. But only God is able to do what our heart's desires ask of Him. Only God is able to relieve the stress and the burden and the financial trouble and the marital issues and all of the trials of this life. Only God is able. And that is why it is so vitally important, my friends, that we pray more, not less. We need to get out of bed in the morning and draw near to our Father in heaven and ask of Him for the persevering grace for the day, to labor in His Word and to strive to live godly lives before the world. We need His help. We need to ask of it. So often we don't have what we want because we never bothered to ask in the first place. You have not because you ask not. And so we draw near to Him as one who is able and ready to help us. And He always does always answers us in a perfect way. Always gives to us what we need. He knows what we need before we ask of Him anyway. And then we're also taught in this preface to pray with and for others. We note that because of the plural pronoun that begins this phrase, our Father in heaven, our Father. We should be people of all the people of the earth that pray with our brothers and sisters. When there's a trial that occurs in the life of the church, when someone shares something with you, a need or a concern, why not just pause right there and briefly pray with them and for them? What an encouragement it is for one another to pray together. When brothers and sisters dwell in unity in this way, to pray with and for one another. So let me just ask you, do you have a prayer list? Do you keep accurate records of the things that your brothers and sisters ask of you at prayer meeting? Do you write these things down? Do you take note of it? Do you follow up with your brothers and sisters as to how the Lord is working in this particular area that was of request? Do you pray with your brothers and sisters on the phone, shoulder to shoulder after the worship service or prayer meeting or whenever the opportunity presents itself? We need more of this in the life of the church, not less. And so we're taught this. This is what Jesus is teaching us, just in these brief words, our Father in heaven. And so may we heed these things and may we then go and practice them in our own lives, both privately in prayer, but also together with one another in prayer. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can email me. The information is there before you on the screen. So until tomorrow, when we begin going further now into what is known as the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, may the Lord bless you and keep you this day. May you serve Him in all that you do. God bless.